Welcome to the DC Sports Huddle. I am Rob Whitbork, the plucky 12 seed that went on to win it all, alongside the coach who may or may not have made his team walk through the city on the way to a game, George Wallace, and Dave Preston, the man whose ringtone is One Shining Moment all year round. Yeah, probably not even made up.
When did you win it all?
When did I win it all?
12 seed is never
won it all.
When
I got this job, bro.
Oh, okay. Right? Well, he said he won it all. I just want to make sure I missed that.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put the trophy up. Cut down the net.
Walking, by the way, I love that move.
Yeah, that was.
Pitino.
That was. Rick Pitino making his
walking to the garden.
Didn't love the loss.
Yeah.
No.
Wore him out.
Or not getting into the, or
didn't
not
love
getting
the
in.
Denying the NIT bid.
Right.
Yeah. And the whole thing, sports is about competition.
Yeah.
And how lame is it for multiple schools, my alma mater included, to say, you know what?
Syracuse.
Thanks, but no thanks. Syracuse was one. I think Maryland was another one that even if Maryland had been in position to make the NIT, they were not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're in these games to compete and play basketball, and a lot needs to happen from the standpoint of the transfer portal window shouldn't open up until the tournaments are done,
mm-hmm.
but they open up right now, which is just so not cool.
125 players as
already?
Of this recording in day one of the portal.
Wow.
It's
almost
a
like free agency in college.
But there needs, the NCAA needs to, heaven forbid they do anything smart, but they need to jump in and say, you know what? No movement until the season ends.
Right.
That's very reasonable.
Right. What if NFL free agency started before the Super Bowl?
That
would be.
I agree.
That
wouldn't
would just be,
good.
Be wild. We'll get to the Commanders' legion of signings since our last recording later on in the show, but we'll start with the NCAA tournament. The brackets are out. You're filling them out in your office pool, and if you haven't done yours yet, then you are in luck. Because Dave Preston is an AP Top 25 voter. He eats, sleeps, and breathes college basketball. Psych, he doesn't sleep. So all it is basketball. And I think the best place to start, Dave, is what do we need to know before filling out our brackets?
Well, I think the bracket
you didn't
this
like
year.
The seedings this
no,
year.
It was yeah. just very, there were a lot of things that you know made sense here, didn't make sense there. They've added this thing called the net the last few years, and they've used it instead of using it as an ingredient of this cake that they bake the bracket. It's like the only thing it feels like from time to time. It's like baking a chocolate cake with just chocolate, none of the other flour or vanilla extract or anything like that.
Right.
I think what you should know is that there is serious separation atop the bracket. I think, you know, UConn, Houston, and Purdue really separated themselves from the field. And even though Houston lost by 20 plus this past Saturday, even though Purdue lost in their conference semifinals, both of those schools, I think, are geared to make runs in March. And I look at Purdue like Virginia a few years ago after losing in the first round to UMBC, they came back the next year and won it all. I don't think Purdue wins it all this year, but behind Zach Edey, I think they're a team that can at least get back to the Final Four.
And their draw this year helps. I mean, well, you know, expect to lose to the 16 like last year, but but I do think, you know, and a lot is always made of the Big Ten teams who are not built for the tournament because of the style of play. But I think Purdue's draw works. I like Illinois. Not that you asked me.
No.
But I like, it's talking about Big Ten, I like Illinois as well this year.
Okay.
They have, you know, they are built differently, I think, more guard play kind of thing than the typical Big Ten. Oh, go ahead. After you were.
Before we start really diving in, a couple of shout-outs. Congratulations to Stetson, the Hatters, reaching their first ever NCAA tournament. Same case with Grambling, reaching their first big dance. A lot of pressure on the University of Nebraska. They are the only Power 5 school that has yet to win an NCAA tournament game.
Wow.
Say that again?
They're the only Power 5 school without an NCAA tournament
Nebraska.
Victory. Nebraska.
Wow.
And they've come close under Danny Nee back in the 90s. They were a three seed, lost to Manhattan. Also some major props to Howard getting back to the NCAA tournament, I think a few weeks ago on this very program. I said that they had the best shot of any team in and around the Beltway. And I didn't include the deep Virginia schools. I included, within shouting distance of the Beltway, the true locals, as opposed to the locals that are out and about.
So wait, is Nebraska going to beat A&M in the first 8-9 game?
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do win this
all
game.
Right. So they get their first
win. I was not impressed with A&M at all this season.
Because then they'll face the winner of Houston, Longwood. Right. Longwood, they're the ones that are close by, right?
They're not close by.
They're not.
The Lancers. Not,
see, look, George is trying to get me on a rant.
Longwood
on
University
podcast.
Sounds made up. Farmville, Virginia, that sounds made up. That was a video game.
That's what I'm saying.
A computer game.
First of all, congratulations to Longwood.
Of course.
Give them props.
Absolutely.
They made the NCAA tournament.
Second time.
However, that is not a D.C. local. George was trying to inflame me here because we got this internal email just saying, light the match. We got an internal email. Somebody was like badgering us because we didn't mention Longwood.
That's what's
going on. In one sportscast.
Right. We mentioned it in the morning.
You talk about James Madison like they're local. First of all, no, we don't.
No.
Neither one of those schools is local.
No.
From where this station is located in Chevy Chase, Maryland, right on the D.C. border, James Madison is 2+ hours away. Longwood is 3+ hours away.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be willing to bet you can't even get our signal there. So, not local. Absolutely
they can get
not
this
local.
Podcast, though.
I think what benefits this station, what I think the idea is that there are a lot of alums, in the area, and that's the case. That's why we do a lot of Virginia and Virginia Tech, because that's Northern Virginia has a lot of families that send their kids
say that.
Down there.
So that's why I'm careful to say in my sportscast, teams of local interest, because we do have a large Virginia Tech contingent here.
We got a local NIT battle with Virginia Tech Richmond tomorrow.
That campus is 4 hours away. No chance you're getting
Don't get me started
there.
On Virginia Tech. That's my biggest pet peeve.
We mention them when they are doing like the utmost. Like, I'm not giving a Virginia Tech score in November. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not. Unless they get upset and they're ranked, you know.
November hoops is garbage.
Right, exactly. So that's my rant.
Okay.
We can't call places local that can't get our signal hours away.
Some props to the University of Virginia making the field, and that is the second part of our discussion. As we look at the bracket, I'm
like
not
just moved
surprised
on
that Virginia made the tournament, and I'm all for them making the tournament, but there are some other moves. Six schools from the Mountain West Conference. Now, I know that they don't do it by leagues and whatever. They view each of these teams as quote-unquote independents, but I thought that either Providence or St. John's deserved to make the field over one of the schools from the Mountain West,
say, Kim English.
Colorado State. Yeah, he was. And you know what? I'm sorry, Mr. English, but you don't want to make the NCAA tournament committee mad. You don't want to say that they don't know what they're doing, because that will put you on the short list of you make the field next year, they're going to have you play some school right near their hometown. Like, you'll play Richmond in College Park or something along those lines.
Right.
So.
And apparently he's so handsome that people were asking about his marital status during a post-game presser. So
Really?
Didn't see that coming.
Okay.
Neither did he.
No.
And that's how he responded. But I digress. Do you have any big upsets on your bracket, Dave?
I have James Madison beating Wisconsin.
Yeah, you
do.
I have them, and I have them.
They're going to beat Duke after that?
You know what? In for a penny, in for a pound, yes. Heck yes. The local school gets through.
I would love to see Vermont beat Duke.
Right.
The Catamounts.
That'd be nice too. But I know everybody, I know it's how stylish and chic it is to do the 5-12 upset, but the only one I predicted was James Madison over Wisconsin. I mean, they had another strong regular season.
They did.
And most wins. Right, exactly. And I'm not that impressed with Wisconsin. So James Madison, and then I would love to see them beat Duke strut in front of Ben Raby.
He didn't even go there. Come on.
Yeah, he didn't go there.
I like the UAB.
But he still wears jerseys to the ACC tournament.
San Diego State, last year finalists, they get 12-seed UAB. I saw UAB last year in the NIT. You could tell they were working to something, and then Andy Kennedy's got them playing well.
Man. Right.
That would be another possible 12-over-5.
It is technically an upset. It's not a 12-5, but 10 of the last 12 years, an at-large school that has played in Dayton has gone on to cause some noise in the main bracket. And I like Boise State to do so. I think the Broncos will beat Colorado, and then they'll surprise Florida, a Florida team that is probably a little ragged after a long week at the SEC tournament and lost a player to injury.
So wait, who do they get the winner of?
I say Boise State gets in and they will challenge Marquette.
They'll beat Florida and then challenge Marquette. I like that.
Shaka Smart led VCU to the Final Four from the first four. Since then, he's not gotten to the second weekend. It's at VCU, whether it's at Texas, whether it's at Marquette, and with the Golden Eagles and the Longhorns, he's had some very talented teams.
I think that could be fun. That could be a Marquette. Who's the Houston's the one in there? Who's the three? Kentucky.
Yeah. I actually took Marquette to make the Final Four.
What about the Texas Tech NC State game? 6-11 there. Is NC State run out of gas?
I think they're gassed. There's no way have you seen DJ Burns Jr., how big that guy is? Yeah. There's no way he cannot be gassed.
He should be playing football.
You can spot him and the Great Wall of China from space.
Yeah.
He is that big. He had a heck of a tournament. What a run through the ACC tournament for NC State. And this is a team that, or a school that hadn't won an ACC championship since 1987. Mm-hmm. For the record, they won 10 of the first 34.
Yeah.
ACC tournaments. It was their little playpen, and then nothing since. So I think they're toast. I've seen teams that have won three or four games in four days or whatever, and they're toast after that.
So you got Texas Tech and then Kentucky. Yeah. Kentucky has struggled early in tournaments.
I'm not buying in on them.
They're going to lose to Oakland or to Texas Tech.
I like the story. Greg Campy, he's been there. He's the longest tenured coach in the NCAA. He's been there 40 years. I don't think they've got the horses to play with Kentucky, but I think the Texas Tech is sneaky good, and they should beat the Wildcats.
The other fun story is Long Beach State firing their coach last week.
Right.
They go on to win the tournament, so they're going to be in Salt Lake City. I'll have them in Salt Lake City.
Dan Monson. Yeah.
Yep. That'll be fun.
I like Dayton in that bracket.
Out of that bracket?
I like them bouncing Arizona in the second round.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's a sneaky. Whoa. Flyers have been sneaky good all year.
That's true.
I think
you've seen them, right?
Yes. I've seen 15 of the 68 schools.
Nice.
Two of which that I've missed were missed Creighton because I wanted to see Purdue play, missed Colgate because I wanted to see Nebraska play. So
right.
I'll tell you the other things that we saw Charleston last week. They're going to be a tough out for Alabama.
I think Alabama's my fade in that bracket because they lost 4 of 6 down the stretch, allowing 97 points per game. Charleston can shoot, and they can shoot the Crimson Tide out of the bracket.
I think I've got Charleston winning that game. The problem I have is I love Michigan State every March. And Tom Izzo. But they got Carolina in the second round.
Yeah. I had them losing that game to Carolina. I actually have Carolina going to the Final Four.
And I don't think they're worthy of a number 9 seed. They have not been that good. Like, I thought the games that I've seen from opening night when they lost to James Madison at home.
Right.
I'm not saying that, James Madison wound up winning 30-plus games.
Right.
But losing to Indiana to wrap up the regular season, losing in the Big Ten tournament. This has not been a vintage Michigan State team.
Right.
Granted, there's still a Michigan State team that can beat Mississippi State. Take an MSU in that game for the record.
All right.
Just like I took the Rams when VCU played Fordham. This is not a Michigan State team that I think is great, but this is a North Carolina team that from time to time we'll just forget how to play basketball for three or four minutes a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
In the ACC championship game against NC State, before the first TV timeout of each half, if you combine those two, they were outscored 27-12. That's where they lost the game. And I see them losing to St. Mary's. I have St. Mary's advancing in that region.
To who? To Charleston?
I have St. Mary's advancing from the West.
Over Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
You just said you had Carolina going to the Final Four.
No.
No, you didn't. No, I said
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here's the game that least game of the first four that I'm not looking forward to. Virginia, Colorado State. That game's going to be in the 40s.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to. And
it's
it won't
be
that
like
good.
Bulls Knicks in the 90s.
Right?
Yeah. No, it just doesn't look
and
good.
And Colorado State's going to win, aren't they?
What's amazing is that Virginia, until they lost to NC State, they were 9-0 in two possession games.
Wow.
Games decided by 6 points or fewer. But their average margin of defeat was 19.
Wow.
So when this team loses, it gets ugly. So I could easily see them getting boat raced like 55-37. 30. Just one of those games that you're just, oh, gosh. But,
oh, man. Who of the teams of local interest do we see going the furthest?
Howard.
I see Howard. I see Howard winning. I see Howard beating Wagner.
Just one night. That's it.
I have Howard over Wagner. I like but what I think they get bounced in the round of 64.
That's the furthest.
Yeah.
I like what they've done.
Who else is local interest?
Yeah.
Longwood.
UVA, I don't trust.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose Tuesday night. I got them losing Tuesday night.
I see James Madison.
So they won't even get to the round of 64. I have them getting past the quote-unquote first round. That's a play-in game. I don't care how they label it. That's a play-in game. I have them winning that, but then they'll lose to Tennessee.
I'm glad they went back to the first four. When did that was, right?
Yeah.
That was, because it used to the first round was called the second round.
It just creates confusion.
The first round is Thursday.
Yes.
Enough.
Yeah.
All right, who else you got? Oh, James Madison is
James Madison. We talked about them. They upset Duke.
Yep.
We had them as the only I had them as the only 5-12 upset.
Right.
And then they upset Duke in the round of 32, but I think Houston gets them in the Sweet 16.
Big Kelvin Sampson.
I think what kind of messes up the bracket this year for me is that you always have some soft at-large schools that get into the field that you're like, I know this team's toast.
Right.
They're going to get bounced. Those teams aren't in the field.
Right.
Because of all the upsets, because of NC State stealing a bid, because of Oregon stealing a bid, because of New Mexico swiping a bid. So the upsets are like, ooh, who do you choose? Well, you know, what's here there? Kansas is a team that I'm kind of sold on. I'm selling them, as it were. I don't see them.
Well, they have injuries, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Hunter's hurt. Exactly. And the other guy's hurt.
How about McNeese and Will Wade?
Yeah.
Strong offer.
Oh, yeah, I get them out there, too.
I like McNeese.
Over Gonzaga?
I don't think Gonzaga's good this year.
So what do you got? You have Kansas? You have Kansas McNeese in the second round?
I've got McNeese Samford in the second
round. Oh.
We're going crazy.
That would be fun.
Cocoa Puffs.
Selfishly, that would be fun for me.
Yeah.
Who else I got out there? Those four.
Salt Lake.
And then Arizona, Dayton, Nevada, and Long Beach.
You know what Long Beach State's nickname is, Rob?
What?
Beach. They used to be the 49ers. They've called themselves the Beach now. The Long Beach State Beach. Look at it on the computer.
They didn't call themselves the Beach Boys. They missed an opportunity.
You look at it on the screen, and it looks like somebody at ESPN.com like screwed up and is going to get fired because it's like there's no way that could possibly be the case.
George Wallace, your final four.
I don't know. It's tough. I think that you don't want to go total chalk, but it's tough
Sharp.
To see. Huh?
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp. Do you see that? On ESPN, they say his final four, he had all one seeds in the men's and women's. And someone was like, this is why they pay him the big bucks.
Hey, got to do something.
I like UConn. I like Houston. I like Illinois to make noise. The problem is they're going to face UConn. So I don't think they're going to get past UConn.
They won't get past UConn.
Carolina, Arizona. I like that the three seed, I don't trust Baylor in that bracket. So it's tough going against. I have Arizona beating Carolina. That's my only two right now, which is weird.
Okay.
I like Purdue, Houston, and UConn. I don't trust Tennessee as the two seed.
No.
Or Creighton, to be honest. So that's what I'm saying about Purdue's draw.
Right.
Right? If Kansas gets healthy, they could give Purdue a run. But I don't know if Kansas is going to get that far to get healthy. Right?
I've got UConn, St. Mary's, Purdue, and Marquette advancing to the Final Four.
Do you have Marquette over Houston?
Yeah. Yeah, I have them. I have them getting it done, even though the game's in Dallas, which I understand is in the same state as Houston.
I have North Carolina,
okay,
UConn, Marquette, and Creighton.
Okay, I've got Purdue beating Creighton to get to the to get to the Final Four.
So our Final Four is pretty similar. I mean, we have two out of the four.
I've got UConn beating Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I've got St. Mary's beating Dayton, as I see the Flyers. Wreaking some havoc. I've got Marquette over Houston, and I've got Purdue over Creighton, and then I've got UConn winning it all again. I just think the Huskies have been on a mission since day one. I saw them beat Georgetown, and not only did they beat Georgetown, they looked sharp for 40 minutes. It wasn't as though they were trying to run up the score for 40 minutes. They played quality basketball, and they've got seven guys that. They don't have necessarily one star, but they have seven guys who can be the star on any given night. And that's just something that you can't prepare for. Because if you stop one guy, it's like the whack-a-mole. If you get one, oh, no, there's something there. So I just think the UConn whack-a-moles are too much.
Yeah. I got North Carolina beating UConn in the Final Four. and Marquette over Creighton, with North Carolina winning it all. I just feel like it's going to be new blood. And everything you said about UConn is correct, and I agree with. But I just have this gut feeling that something weird is going to happen somewhere deeper in the tournament. Right. And I think North Carolina has that experience with Baycott and Hubert Davis at the helm. Like, I just feel like this is a year where something wonky happens, and I think those are the guys that take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. If you play it, if you play it 10 times, you'll get 10 completely different results. And, you know, if you were to play it even five, you play the Purdue FDU game last year 1,000 times, Purdue wins 995 of those. But you know what?
Right.
On the one night, and that's what's great about this tournament, is that things turn on a dime, and we saw it this past weekend with all the conference championship games, where just a lot of things just went crazy, up to and including, did you see the confetti thing on Sunday?
Yeah.
Can't get more A-10 than that. But, I mean, you look at the Atlantic 10, the top four seeds lost in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think, thought that the A-10 had a chance to be a two-bid league. Well, not when you're four teams that might be up for at-large berths all lose, and you're stuck with just, with Dayton as the second bid.
We also want to give the ladies attention, the women's bracket.
Let's do that.
Maryland, of course, is the school of the
local.
Only school.
They're local.
Yeah, that's the only true local in that bracket. Don't talk to me about Virginia Tech. That is 4 hours away.
Richmond.
I think Virginia Tech will make a nice run, but Maryland, I have upsetting Iowa State in that opening round, but I think they fall to Stanford in the round of 32.
Terrapins are 18-0 in first round games under Brenda Freese.
Yeah, so I don't think that
not changes. A small sample size.
No, it is not. I have a hard time seeing them go down to Iowa State, even though Iowa State is the higher seed. My final four is South Carolina over Texas, Iowa over UConn, with South Carolina getting the better of Iowa in the final. It just feels like, I mean, look, Caitlin Clark this has been her season. Right. She has been the defining factor for the women's game this year, pro or collegiate. And so I think that her brilliance, especially since she and Iowa want to get a championship so bad in this season, that I think she carries them really deep. But South Carolina is a buzzsaw. I mean, Dawn Staley's squad is just so, so good that I don't see them beating anybody. And I'm actually going to say, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, I think a South Carolina-Iowa final is going to be more compelling than anything we see in the men's bracket. So sign me on for that.
Yeah. I think UConn bounces Iowa in the regional
final.
So
Iowa doesn't even get that far.
It's tough, but yeah, they get bounced. I think West Virginia is semi-local. They lose in the second round to, Iowa. We have Richmond playing Duke in the first round. They won the A-10. I see a very short stay for the Spiders. And Maryland, I see them winning, but then losing in the second round of Stanford. It's tough to Maryland had this advantage, you know, when they've hosted the tournament. It's very tough to lose on your home floor. It's very tough for somebody to come in, especially when you're a top four seed protected. So I've got Stanford advancing to the Final Four from that bracket.
Oh, wow.
So I've got Stanford, South Carolina, UConn, and then I forget who I've got from the lower right quadrant, you know, as it were.
It's tough because they do different regions. South Carolina's really good.
They are.
That's what I'm saying.
Carolina. You think Purdue is a team on a mission? South Carolina was unbeaten going into the Final Four last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, stormed back. So.
And she's great.
Dawn Staley.
Dawn. She's just at that.
Matter of fact, with her. Oh, yeah.
I had her a couple years ago in Greensboro for the regionals.
Right.
And she just doing it my way. She's also been.
And her way works.
Yeah. But she's also been through it. She's also kind of like she's set the tone for a lot. college basketball.
Yeah. And I mean, as a player too.
Yeah.
I mean, she was such a great player as well.
One last thought about
them winning it all.
I do. In the women's. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
One last thought about Virginia Tech. Elizabeth Kitley's health is a big question mark because she wasn't able to play in the ACC. They had a short stay. If she's able to go, the Hokies get through to the Sweet 16. If not, it could be curtains for them before they
when you talk about the non-Caitlin Clark players in the women's game, I mean, she's about as dominant as anybody.
Georgia Moore and her – they have a nice two-player game.
Yes, they
that
do.
That has really helped them.
But they're not local.
They are not local.
Oh, that's what you thought.
By any stretch of the imagination, they are not local. It would take half the time to go to Philly.
So my argument, let me just go back on this. My argument, because this fires me up all the time, too.
Yes, me too.
My argument for the Virginia Tech is always this. Temple takes me 2 hours to get to.
Yes.
Is Temple local?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Let me rephrase myself. I had UConn beating Iowa to get to the Final Four. I've got UConn beating Iowa in the Final Four.
Oh, yes.
I've got
yes.
UConn winning that region, so I had my region.
Do you have UConn winning it all?
No, I've got UConn losing to South Carolina in a heck of a matchup.
That would be a heck of a matchup, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yes, the Virginia Tech thing, like, just stop.
That one gets me more than any of it. The Virginia
Tech. Yes, because,
Tech.
Again,
it does.
Like, there's –
I'm sorry.
There's
in
my pushback –
it's 4 hours away.
My pushback is always – just because something is in close proximity to you, and close is a relative term.
And because you have alumni in the area.
So what?
So what? So what?
I mean, there's a bunch of Dallas fans here. Are we going to cover the Cowboys like they're local? No, absolutely not. There's a bunch of Philly fans here. Are we going to start talking about Villanova? Are we going to start talking about the Eagles? No, we're not. So the proximity is irrelevant because – like, the further out, to me, if you can't get our signal where your campus is, we don't need to talk about you.
Nope.
We don't need to talk about you because you can't hear it. You can't even hear us talking about you.
You can hear it on the app.
Yeah.
So, that's my rant. Off the soapbox, onto the Commanders. Right. Definitely in our market. They have signed a bunch of guys since the last time we were on these microphones.
Together?
Yes, the last time we were together. And I think the most impactful signing, because they'll probably sign six more people by the time this airs.
That's the key to this. You do a podcast, then they sign people.
Yeah.
I love the Bobby Wagner signing. That's probably the biggest name guy to come since our last episode. That is a guy that, you know, people are just like, oh, he's 33 years old and – you know, he's on the back nine of his career. That is factual.
It's all
but
facts.
There's two things that I have to point out as to why this is an impactful signing. Actually, three things. Number one, he's about the same age London Fletcher was when he signed here in, what was that, 2007?
Right.
He mentioned London Fletcher in his
He did.
Comments,
and that's a guy that he's emulated and has taken on as a mentor. And London Fletcher went on to play seven seasons here. Seven
yeah,
seasons.
That's
like the longest.
When you say that, that's kind
of
crazy.
He was the longest tenured of the three teams that he played for. He played in Washington the longest, even though he came to this team at age 32. With Wagner, I'm not saying he's going to play seven seasons, but he's coming off a year in which he had a career high 183 tackles, and he was a guy that helped Seattle stay around the periphery of the playoffs. So you sign him to a one-year deal. That's a guy who's going to help set the culture. Even if he stays here 1 year and then retires, this is a guy who's going to help you set the culture and set Dan Quinn's program. And he's going to be a leader. Maybe he's, you know, he helps be the pilot light for Frankie Louvu. And then, you know, he takes the C on his chest as a team captain from there on out.
And those are the two. Louvu was the one we talked about last week being the most impactful, and then they go sign Wagner. So those, I mean, it's amazing they've addressed the linebacker position more in 2 days than they did in 4 years.
Right? Exactly.
And Rivera was a linebacker.
Yes.
And Del Rio.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Nothing.
It makes no sense. But I love that signing.
I
would have loved to have seen them get Tyron Smith, who ended up signing with the Jets for 1 year, and it can be with incentives worth up to $20 million. That is a little too rich for Washington's blood at that spot for a guy who's got an injury history. I thought the ties to Dallas, him playing for the Cowboys, while Dan Quinn was there. I thought that was going to make him a logical choice to come here. David Bakhtiari still out there. I would like to see them get a veteran tackle so that you don't feel like you have to, with one of those second-round picks, go tackle. So I love what they're doing. I think all of these signings are low risk, high reward, and help you set a culture, even if those guys aren't here for the entirety of the deals that they sign.
Bro, you think about London Fletcher, Joe Gibbs,
yeah.
Jim Zorn,
yeah.
and Mike Shanahan.
He's seen some stuff.
That's one
trifecta, baby.
Oh man.
But I agree with you on the Wagner thing. I also think I'm coming around more on the Eckler signing.
Really?
I think
show your work on that.
Did we talk about the show your work thing already?
I think we did.
We did?
Was it?
Just because my kid's doing the show your work.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I hated the show your work thing. This is the answer.
I hated it when we were kids. Yeah.
This is the answer.
I don't know what they do now.
The calculator told me.
It's supposed to develop study skills that will help
anyway,
you in the future.
I know. I just have a heart that we're sitting there doing the work. It's like, I don't know. So I don't know. All right, anyway.
And then they told us, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket.
No.
Yeah. Actually, we will.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, teacher. We will.
I think they'll use Eckler a lot on third down. I think Kingsbury will use him a lot. I think he's going to be effective out of the backfield, pass catching. And I think that's a pretty good 1-2 combo
with
B-Rob and him. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's done, right?
I don't know.
What is your hesitation?
But the thing is, running backs, historically, there's not everybody's not Emmitt Smith. Everybody's not Derrick Henry. Everybody's not guys that keep playing. Gore, who played until he was 38.
Oh, like, Frank Gore. Yeah.
There's those guys are rare. Mm-hmm. And Eckler is 28, and you know, I don't know. I just feel like
you're not feeling.
I feel like, and I don't know, because the Chargers are just absolutely. If you were a skill position player, not named Justin Herbert, there, like basically they're just getting you the hell out, which is wild, because the offense is the one thing that they had going for them, the Chargers. But you know, with Eckler, he's on the older end, and it's just like it feels like, and I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
he's just a third down back.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who you're not going to use a lot. But if he's not a guy you're going to use a lot, then the 1 year deal worth up to, I guess you have to reach those incentives for it to be $11 million.
Yeah, and I think, I guess, would you rather have Eckler or AG right now, Gibson?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, AG has a higher ceiling at this point. I feel like Austin Eckler, feel like Austin Eckler's best years are 3 years ago.
AG's always unfulfilled promise.
Yeah.
Like his era here.
The fumbles.
Yeah.
And I think Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn, those guys, I mean, I think they'll get something out of Eckler.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
I hope you're right, because AG, you would have had to, Antonio Gibson, you would have had to sign to, I mean, not have to, but
nah.
I mean, what he got from the Patriots was 3 years.
3 years, right?
Yeah. And about $4 million a year.
Right.
For a young running back, it's not bad. And maybe they have a vision for him that maybe they don't here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Eckler on a 1 year, it's a 1 year deal. And that's the thing is guys who sign 3 year deals, you have plans for down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who got 1 year deals are on the back nine, and it doesn't hurt you that much if they don't work out.
Agreed. And this year with this staff and what they've done, and they've plugged holes, there are no long term deals, there's no mega deals, no superstars, but it doesn't matter.
You want to draft the superstars. That's the thing, is you know,
they have literally filled the holes they needed.
Yeah.
And by the way,
except for
what
tackle.
Except for tackle, yeah. But when Adam Peters was asked about this year's roster, I remember that I was sitting there looking at him in that press conference. He's kind of like hesitated. It's like, how's he going to answer this? I think you know how he feels.
This roster is trash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Two things before we go. Nats are just a couple of weeks away from their opener and home opener, I think, is what, April Fool's Day?
April.
His favorite habit.
Sounds about right.
James Wood is the prospect who continues to shine. There are those who think that he will find his way on the opening day roster. He's a guy who could definitely play on this team this year and contribute. So that's a nice thing to see.
I think he will. Also, maybe not opening day, but I think you're right.
He'll definitely be somebody who can play. Meanwhile, a guy like Alex Call is hitting over 400 in spring training, so he's not going away quietly. This team could be fun to watch. I'm not saying that they're going to win 90 games or even make the playoffs, but 75 to 85 wins, a team that's scrappy, it's a team that's going to win some series and at least be in the conversation as opposed to, oh, gosh, they're awful.
I think that'd be a huge successful season, 75 to 85 wins.
Also, Caps are currently fighting for a playoff spot as of Monday's taping. They are 1 point out of the last wild card. They turned around what was going to be a really bad Western Conference road swing. They got outscored, I think, what, 10-2 the first two games. Bounce back, win two more. They do play Calgary to wrap up that road trip. But they're a team that, as you look, the final weeks of the season, it's a very difficult schedule, but they can play their way into the postseason, which is something that I didn't think that they'd be able to do even a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and, I mean, to your point, that it's getting you playoff ready because you're playing playoff-intensity hockey against playoff-caliber teams, and that could, I mean, we've seen them win President's Cups and end up losing in the first round. They could be a team that comes in as a lower seed and then ends up wreaking some havoc on some of the top seed teams for a change.
You just got to make it. Nice to see TJ Oshie play his 1,000th game this past Saturday. I think that his injury against Carolina in 2019 and that's in the first round series really torpedoed their hopes. Mm-hmm. And because they were up 2-0 and then 3-2, and then they didn't have Oshie and they lost in 7. So they need a healthy Oshie, and it's going to be fun to watch them at least, you know, contend for a spot this spring.
All right.
Do you think we have plenty of time to talk about this, but just initial reaction, do you think the Nats go back after Soto next year, offseason?
That would be hilarious.
I think they could. There's no reason why not.
Because the only reason is because he has mentioned so many times how he never thought he would leave here or wanted to leave.
So you try to bring him back.
You get the haul that you got for him.
Oh, yeah.
And then he hits free agency, and then you sign him to a deal that may or may not be the $400 million that you offered him to begin with.
I just think it's not 0%.
I agree.
Right.
It's not zero.
Yeah. That's all.
I mean, Lane Thomas owns that spot now.
It also depends on what he does this year.
True.
I mean, if he balls out, then he's going to be a hot ticket. And if not, if he gets lost in that Yankee shuffle, then who knows? But, yeah, baseball talk. We should get our old buddy Craig Heist on for baseball season. What do you think?
He'll be cheery.
Yeah?
Very cheery.
Yeah, we're not going to do it on Zoom this time.
He's coming in.
You don't know what you're doing.
You're going to bring his ass in here. He's going to sit right here.
You're going to see him.
Oh, man, the cantankerous.
Heisty needs a seat.
Does he live here? I mean, does he listen?
Yeah, he listens.
He does?
Oh, everybody listens.
Okay.
Something's wrong with you if you don't listen to the DC Sports Huddle.
Right.
And that's it for this episode.
This was a fun one.
Of course, it was fun. Yes, thank
you. See, I don't need to break the huddle. This is my thing. I think it's a fun episode.
Oh, that's your way of breaking the huddle?
Something like that.
Oh, God. That is the fun, George Wallace. I'm Rob Woodfork alongside Dave Preston. He and I, at least, will break the huddle. That was an aggressive clap from me.
Yeah, well, you got to bring it. If you're not going to bring it, you may as well take it somewhere else.